And I've been wanting to hear a couple of those songs they did today for a while. Really like them. Amen. You know, I like going to church. And I really like worshiping the Lord. And what I really like about it is the Holy Spirit. And when God begins to move, and it tickles me when I see preachers try to sing. Because when God gets to moving, they can't sing. I've heard people say, well, when you get to heaven, there ain't going to be no preaching. I don't know about that. It may be a little different. There's going to be some rejoicing. You know, what I don't understand is when a person don't enjoy church, what do you think you're going to be like in heaven? See, the way it is for me, the closer I get to the Holy Spirit and the Lord, the harder it is for me to keep my mouth shut. I was sitting there last night, and McCamey's got to singing that song, There Is Jesus, and I looked around, and it's like, I just thought I could preach right now. You know, I'm glad to be saved. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord, and it is a privilege and an honor for me to worship and serve with you at Hiram First Baptist Church. And it's amazing to me to see what God is doing in the church. Let's keep it all about Him. We had a singing here Monday night. We had Wilburn and Wilburn here, and they sang a song that just stuck in my mind. Now, folks, I don't text much, okay? So if you see me with my phone out, it's notes. It's notes. And I learned this, and you know, not all technology is bad. My kids have taught me quite a few good things about this phone. And since I've learned, you can use the notes and you can write down things. I tell you what, when I get in a service or a meeting and God is moving, I get that phone out and I start writing down notes. Sitting on the deer stand, same thing. I've outlined complete messages, okay? Can't do it fishing, though. Your hands are on the fishing pole. But I was sitting there last night and I got the notes out and I started typing some notes. Well, the same thing happened Monday night. When Jonathan Wilburn sung this song, and this is the title that we're going to work around this morning. I can't say it's necessary what I'm going to preach about, because we're going to be all over the Bible. But the title is this, Some Things Never Change. And when I listened to him sing the song entitled, Some Things Never Change, you know, my mind began to go back. And I began to think about all the times that I've been in church. And he starts off in the song, and he's talking about the church where he grew up. And I don't know how many of you can remember the church maybe that you grew up in or the church that you got saved in. But I begin to think about the church that I really grew up in, the church that I was saved in, the church where God spoke to my heart during a revival when Brother Earl Partain was preaching a revival for my dad. God spoke to me. I realized I was lost. The church where I was going when I got baptized, when God called me to preach. You know, you ride by where that church used to be now, and there's a house sitting there. They built a big old house, and it's kind of an area down in Fulton County, and, you know, Vining's kind of spread out, and the property values increased. But, you know, at the time we were there, for a period of time, the neighborhood just kept going down. Church attendance began to decrease and decrease, and you know, but I can remember being there at that church. It was Welcome Hill Baptist Church. And I can remember having revivals, and there were times that we would actually have to raise the windows on the church because we couldn't get everybody in the church. You know, we used to meet before service, and all the men of the church would go around behind the church, and there was a big old cliff that went down into a hardwood hollow, and they would have prayer. And here's the way they would pray. When they began to pray, it was out loud, and it was everybody. And you know, whether you wanted to or not, if you lived in that community, they brought you to church. Because when they began to pray and it started to echo up that hollow, you could hear it for a mile away. I can remember going to that church and we'd have homecoming. Now, we'd have what you call dinner on the ground. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We had the concrete tables, and the way the church property was set, you had to walk around, and we had this big dugout place in the side of the bank, and all the way down through there were those concrete tables. And all the ladies would bring every kind of casserole. We'd have every kind of food, and we ate like Baptists. And we would get down there and we would eat, and then we would come back in and we'd have another service, and we'd stay there just about all day. You know, you might think this is funny, but I can remember a time being in that little church. And how many of you remember an old-fashioned foot washer?
Oh, yeah.
We got five. We would have an old-fashioned foot washing, and I literally can remember seeing three different preachers standing up preaching at the same time. You know why? Because they got so full of the Spirit of God, they can't help it. That's when you can't sit still. That's why I believe when you get to heaven and you get close to the Spirit of God, some people just not going to be able to help it. They're going to start doing what the angels can't do, and they're going to start praising and rejoicing and glorifying God. But you know, things have changed. That little church is gone. Sitting there when you ride by, you just have to know where it was at. The house that used to sit next to it that I lived in when I was a boy is gone. And I begin to think about the people, and I can remember the last times that I were there, how we used to stand around in fellowship. You know, it's kind of like this. You come to church and you have an hour-long service, but you got an hour of fellowship outside. I tell you something, folks, you know you had a good church when people don't want to leave. And they would stand outside and they would fellowship, and it was a family. And I can remember those times and I can remember those people. But you know, as I begin to think back on that time, can I tell you that just about every one of those old saints of God have already gone on to be with the Lord. Amen. You know, my dad's gone to be with the Lord, and I begin to think about the deacons that were there and the workers in the church. And I can remember when we used to have work days, and there would have to be times that stuff was done to the church. You couldn't hire contractors to do it. You didn't permit it. You just did it.
Amen.
And I can remember those times, but I can't tell you how many times when I think back, things have changed. Amen. You know, occasionally I'll pull down the paper off the wall where I was ordained into the ministry. And when I flip it over and I look at it and the signatures that are on it, probably about 3/4 of those signatures, those people have already gone on to be with the Lord. You see, things have changed. Even looking at our families and our relationships, sometimes things change. You know, I preached a message here and I've taught on it before. And, you know, around Christmas time, it brings back memories, and we've got what we call the Christmas list. And can I tell you, the Christmas list that my wife and I have, it's changed. See, I remember when we first got married and having extended families and all the people that we had in our lives at that time. And I would look at the Christmas list. Now, you know what it's like when you first get married? You got all the bills and none of the money.
Right. Amen.
I mean, you know, you don't have nothing. And you're buying your car. And my wife, she is a giver. She showed me the Christmas list. I said, honey, we broke and there's 40 names on here. But that's her heart. Do you know there's a difference today? There's a lot of those names that are gone. Those grandmothers, those grandfathers on both sides. Parents on both sides. Brothers and sisters. Aunts and uncles. Cousins. They're gone. You see, some things change. And in our lives, we sometimes come to the point that we realize that and we look at it. And you know, if you get to dwelling on that, and yes, it's heavy, and yes, it's real, and yes, it's life. But I want to give you a verse out of Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 25. And I want to share with you this morning some things that haven't changed and some good news. It says, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. As I listened to the McCameys last night and they sang the song, There Is Jesus, and they went through different things in the Bible. And as you go through them and you look at them, and you'd see the presence of God. We come to the same point in our lives, whether we're 15 or 50 or 85 or older. Things change, but God doesn't. And what we need more than anything else is what I need. I think it's what this church needs. we need to realize there's some good news, that some things don't ever change. You know, as Jonathan Wilburn went on to sing in the song, and I want to share this with you, and I'm just going to share with you the things this morning that are on my heart. Here's what I want you to understand. Something that doesn't change is salvation still comes the same way. Amen. Salvation still comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You know, we're looking at what God wants us to do at this church. And I want to tell you something, folks. I'm praying over it. I've got it going in my mind. But I just can't help but look at that cross and say, no matter what we do, we want that cross on the wall. We want people to come in and see what it represents in here. You know, I've thought about, we need a place to put a baptismal. We need a bigger baptismal pool. We need to have another baptismal now, but we don't want to take that cross down. Because that cross still stands for the victory that Christ has given us. Because he went to the cross. It's a symbol of victory. It's a symbol of salvation. You know, sometimes people want to mock and they see a cross around your neck. And they say, you know, that's just like wearing an electric chair around your neck. It's a symbol of death. That's where Christ died. I tell you what that cross is. That cross is a symbol of victory. And I want to tell you why. I want to read one verse to you out of Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 14, where it talks about what happened to mighting your sins. It said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. You know what was nailed on that cross? My sin, my failure, my trouble, my wrongs, the things that I have in my life that were not right with God, they were taken and they were nailed to the cross in the person of Christ. And because they were nailed to that cross, they're not mine anymore. He took them from me. You see, some things haven't changed. The cross still stands as a symbol of victory and salvation. You know, in the song, he said this. He said, the blood still flows. You know, there are churches today, they don't want you to, here's what they don't want. Don't talk about the blood. Don't talk about sin. Don't offend anybody. I don't intend to do anything. I just want to give you the Word of God. But I do believe that if you preach the Word of God, it's going to draw or drive people. What does that mean? It'll draw you to an altar of repentance, or you'll get to the point you can't stand it. And I've literally seen people run out the back door. I remember being in a service one time, and you may think this is peculiar, but it was a church about this deep. Preacher was preaching a revival, and I mean he was preaching. And he got to the invitation and took his Bible like this and he flipped it. You think, well, you ought to reverence the Word of God. Yeah. But when he flipped that Bible, it landed on the threshold just straight like that. He said, if you walk out of here this evening without accepting Christ as your Savior, you're walking over the blood of Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. He said, well, I don't think he would have done that. Well, I know this man. I know when the Bible landed, not one page was out of place. And I know where the Holy Spirit was at because it was all over the place. You see, the blood still flows. What does it do? It still saves people. We're living in a world today that the devil wants to make you think you're messed up, you're going to stay messed up, there's nothing you can do about it. I don't believe that. I believe that you can have victory in Christ. I believe that it doesn't matter what you're experiencing, what you're going through. You don't have to live with it. You can give it to God and he can give you victory. Because the blood still saves, the blood still cleanses. Here's some more good news. And this is something that hadn't changed. Folks, the tomb is still empty. I like that song the Parish sang where they said, I walked by the tomb of Buddha. I looked inside and saw his bones. Traveled on to see Muhammad still wrapped up in his grave clothes. But then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him lay. He's not there. He rose. Looked inside, what's there? It's just the grave clothes. It's the napkin that was about his face. It was folded and laid in place. Why? Because he arose from the grave, and because he lives, we can live. He said, well, I don't believe that. What do you believe about life? You see, people want to mock Christianity. They mock me. They don't say, well, you know, people don't, I've heard people say this, people don't preach like that anymore. I heard a preacher say one time, if I preach like you do, I'd have to move my furniture. You know, the problem in America today, we got too many hirelings and not enough men that are obeying God and serving God. You see, where do you get your hope if you don't get it in Christ? See, people go through life and they mock you, they mock me, but I'll tell you something that I found. And I've got a Bible at my house that was my dad's Bible. And it's actually the same type of Bible as this, and this the same edition. And this Bible right here, and thank God it's in good shape. Somebody gave me this. It was in their attic. I prayed this Bible into place, folks. It's the second one I've had exactly like this, exactly. It was edited in 1977. And when I went looking for another one and I found the same version, you know what happened when I'd open the pages? The verse would read the same, but it would be over here rather than over here. And the way I remember Scripture, I know where it's at on the page. So I'd open the Bible and my eyes would immediately go right there to that verse. You know, And I looked, and when my dad passed away, my mother gave me his Bible, and I opened it, and I looked at it, and it was exactly the same Bible. It was edited in 1977. It's a Nelson Open Bible, King James Version, and I began to look at it, and I want to tell you something remarkable. When I read his Bible that he preached out of for all of those years, I want you to understand something. It reads exactly like the one that I'm standing here holding today. Because God's word is still the same. It does not change. It's not going to change. They still read the same. In Psalms 119, verse 89 and 90, it says this. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations, and thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. You see, sometimes we get to a point in our life, and I heard a dear preacher friend of mine say this. He had been preaching his whole life serving God. You know, we don't know what's out in front of us. We don't know what we're going to face. But he come to a point in his life that he had a very, very trying time when he lost someone who was very close to him. He said, I preached about faith. He said, but I'm learning today what it means to walk by faith. And then he said this. He said, I've looked to the point that I realize I have more on the other side than I have on this side. Can I tell you something, folks? We need to hold to the fact that God's word has not, will not change. And it'll hold us when we come to the points in our life that are the most difficult and trying. You know, the great thing about that, something that hasn't changed, is it's God's character. God's character doesn't change. Sometimes we change. We change. I don't like it, but we change. I've had people not see me for a while, and I heard them kind of whispering. Heard one of them say one time, they said, Brother Joe's plum gray-headed. You know what they say now? Brother Joe's not got no hair. I went down there this morning to pick out this gray suit, and you know how it is, a certain light. I was standing in front of the mirror, and there was something black behind me, and I looked, and I had 3 long hairs on this ear. I'll tell you something. You know you're getting older when you got hair that can grow out of your ears and your nose and you can't get it to grow on top of your head. What about our character? Let me tell you something, folks. I love my kids. I do. And I love my grandkids. I heard a man say one time, he said, if I'd known that they were so much fun, I'd have had them first. Preacher friend of mine said this. He said, the greatest thing a person can ever be called in their life is grandpa. But I want to tell you something. I love them. But I'm so happy when they go home. Amen. Now, I don't want to go home long. I want to come back tomorrow. But about 10 o'clock, I want the house quiet. What's happened? I've changed. Folks, young folks, that's why God gives you your kids when you're young. We change, don't we? You ever have to watch yourself because you know you change? Maybe your temperament changes. Your memory's not quite good as it was. I'm sitting here this morning. I'm asking my wife, what's the name of that church? She said, I can't remember. I said, well, I can't remember. Guy, last night we heard Archie Watkins been singing with Inspirations for 53 years. He said, you know, things change. He said, you get older, you begin to lose stuff. He said, of all the things I've lost, I miss my mind the most. We laugh at that, but there's so much truth in that. I asked my wife, I said, what's that church? I can't remember. I'll go ahead and tell you, I want y'all to be praying with me. April the 23rd, I'm going to be preaching a week-long revival. I'd tell you the name of the church, but I can't remember. Things change. Thank God, even us, our character changes. That's why sometimes we have to acknowledge and understand where we're at. But here's what I want you to understand, something that's great, that's fantastic. God does not, has not, will not change. Amen. He's still the same God as he was. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17, verse 18 says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise of immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. You see, sometimes you need something to hold on to. You need something to hold on to that you know has not and will not change. You see, I've come to the point in my life that when I look back, if I look back too much and I begin to focus, I lose sight of the fact that God's not changed. And God's got us here for a purpose. And God's got you here in this life for a purpose right now. He's not changed. And what he wants you to do is get a hold of him and walk forward with him and serve him and honor him with your whole life, because he's not changed and his promises are still true.
Amen.
His promises are true. You see, if it's impossible for God to lie, it's impossible for God not to keep his promises. You see, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. The promises of God. Well, what are those promises? You know, I want to just give you a couple of thoughts and a couple of things, and I want us to understand this. Folks, some things will change, but some things never change. You know, it's the same Holy Spirit that comes into the house, that came into the house the day that I realized I was lost and I got saved. It's the same Bible that we read out of, that we preach out of, that our grandparents read. You know, I love to hear those stories. And Jonathan Wilburn last night, he began to talk about a praying grandmother that prayed for his grandfather when his grandfather said, I'm not going to church. And finally, they got him into church and he heard the preaching of the gospel and the Holy Spirit began to draw him. And a man that had rejected God all his life made it his way down to an altar. He accepted the Lord. His son accepted the Lord. His grandson, Jonathan Wilburn, accepted the Lord because God has not changed. It's the same word. And here's what I want you to understand, whatever you're going through, God still cares for you. You say, well, sometimes I don't feel that way, but I believe this, I want you to understand it, I want you to see it, I want you to get a hold to it, that God has not changed. And even when you do not see or think that God is working, God is always at work. Always at work. You see, God has not forgotten his people. And if you're here in this house this morning, I don't care what you're going through, God has not forgotten you. God knows, God sees, and God cares. And what God wants more than anything else is he wants you. He wants you. Sometimes we think we want to please God and we want to give God something, or we want to do something. Let's just give God ourselves first. And then we'll allow God to work in us that we would become what He wants us to be, and let Him lead us by listening to His Holy Spirit. And if we want to know the will of God for today and the rest of the day and for tomorrow, let's begin by doing the will of God for the next 15 minutes and just allow God to be God, because we are not. You see, what God wants is a relationship with you. You say, well, sometimes I think God's forgotten me. I want to give you a verse out of Isaiah chapter 49 in verse 15 and 16. And as I read this, I want you to think about it, the closeness of it, but I want you to remember the cross. It says, "Can a woman forget her sucking child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget." They may forget. He says, "Yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me." You see, what he's saying is, he said, it's possible for a mother to forget her little child. He said, but I won't forget you. You see, have you ever heard the saying of the song, "The only thing there that's been made by man are the scars in the hands of Jesus"? You see, Jesus right now is sitting on the right hand of God making intercession for you and I. And I believe the only thing that's in heaven that's going to be there are the scars. He said, "I've graven thee in the palms of my hands, and thy walls are continually before me." Here's what I want you to understand. God knows that you're just flesh and blood. He knows what your limitations are. He knows what your ceiling is and how much you can take. And he says, "There's no temptation taking you except that which is common to man. And with every temptation that also be made a way of escape." What way is that? That's through Jesus Christ. That's why when we get to the end of ourselves, Paul said, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Why? It's because when we are weak, that we fall to our knees. When we think we're strong, we try to stand by ourselves. But God said, "I won't ever, ever, ever forget you." He cares for you. And I want to give you one more thought. I want you to think about this. Isn't it amazing how you can go? You ever been to a different part of the country? Maybe to a church you've never been to? Maybe just to drop in as a visitor? You're on vacation, you know. And you drop in, or you maybe go to the Singing on the Mountain up in Asheville, North Carolina. I remember going up there to see the Primitive Quartet, and they had a preacher that was one of their pastors. It was one of the singers of the Primitive Quartet's pastor. He got up to announce them, and he started trying to announce, and he got to, "Can't help it." He was doing his best to make announcement. I said, "But that guy wants to preach bad." And he got to stuttering just a little bit, and he said, "I'm going to have to let him come up." And I sat there and I looked at it and I looked around and I said to my wife, I said, "Isn't it amazing that you got all these people that we've never seen in our life, and we come into their presence and we're here and we're worshiping the same God. We feel the same Spirit because He's alive." Amen. Lady last night was testifying. She said, "Folks, let's don't forget that there is a world far more real even than this one." See, this world's temporal. We're flesh and blood. And the truth is, the flesh is under a curse. And whether we like it or not, whether we want to admit it or not, we're all going to die. But the Bible tells us that there's more to it than that, that we also have a soul, and we're also spiritual beings, and that God has something prepared for us that's far greater than this. And we need to keep our understanding of that. I want to tell you, some things never change. He's still coming back like He said. And He's still got something prepared for His children. You see, when I think about those old, dear old saints of God, my loved ones, all of those that are on that Christmas list, and I look at my life and sometimes I think, where'd it go? Where'd it go? I remember when my little girl was 4 years old and she used to walk up to beside me and she would lay her head on the couch and she'd go to sleep standing up. Remember when they was little and we used to, you know, we first got married, we ate a lot of beanie weenies. And we'd put that little girl in that high chair and she was about a year old and we'd just set a plate in front of her. It would turn her orange. And ever, you'd look around, she'd be quiet. Her head would be back and she'd have beans hanging out of her mouth. And she'd be asleep. And I think about that. And I think about when Matthew was in the kindergarten. It was over there at Powder Springs Baptist Church in the kindergarten. And I can remember one day that I picked him up and I just looked at him and I thought about my daughter. And I can remember this day, this particular day, and I walked him out to the parking lot and I looked at that little blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy. And I honestly, I just stood there for a few minutes and I thought about all the responsibility that I had as a dad. I thought about how this time was going to go by. And it has. Because life is temporal. That's why in Psalms 90 and 12, the psalmist wrote and he said, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts into wisdom. See, life is temporal and life goes by. But I want to tell you something, folks. God has a place prepared for us that one day all of his children are going to be together. It's those that have already gone on. It's those that are here today. And unless Jesus comes back, it's going to be those that will follow after. I one time heard a man describing about heaven. He said it was like this. He said, those that are gone on before us, they're going to know us when we get there. And the Bible teaches that. You'll know as you're known. You study through the Bible and you look at the spiritual happenings and you understand that we're going to recognize each other. It's like they're there and they're rejoicing in the paradise and the pleasure of the Lord. And one day we're going to show up and they're going to turn around. It's going to be like this. They're going to say, well, there you are. I've been looking for you. You know what we're going to do? We're going to have a reunion. We're going to have a great supper with our Lord and we're going to rejoice. I can't tell you everything about it, but I can tell you this much. I'm satisfied with it. I believe when you get there, you're not going to be thinking, oh, I thought it'd be this way. Oh, I thought it'd be that way. You're going to say, praise God, this is better than I ever thought it would be. Some things don't change, folks. I want to give you this verse of scripture, and then we're going to ask for a song. See, not everybody has that assurance, but you can. Not everybody has that peace, but you can. See, are you prepared to meet your God? If you hadn't figured it out, you're not going to live forever. And if you don't get your hope from the Lord, I don't know where you get it. You're not going to get it in this world. See, are you prepared to see your loved ones again? I know I'm going to heaven. And I'm not going because I'm good. Just ask my wife. I'm going because I'm saved. I'm going because Jesus took all of my sins and he nailed them to that cross. You see, John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. I'm glad this verse still reads the same as it did when it was written. It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. See, some things change. The folks say some things that hadn't changed. And they're not going to. And we can today enjoy the blessings of the Lord. I want to ask you to rise to your feet and ask them to come with a verse of song. I'm going to give a public invitation.